Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. So today, one of the things we want to honor is the National Day of Prayer. So please take a moment out of your day to pray for all of those, the wars, particularly the one in Russia and Ukraine. We want to also pray for, this is National Mental Health Awareness Month, we want to pray for those who treat and help and assist those with mental health issues, as well as those suffering from mental illness. We also want to recognize our teachers, as this week is Teacher Appreciation Week, but we need to appreciate our teachers every day. And we want to ask those who are considering going into a career for the first time or either a career change to consider teaching, as there's a shortage right now. So please keep that in mind and keep our instructors in prayer, and even our teachers that are teaching from home right now, too, in whatever capacity you are. We need to keep them in prayer. And in particular this month, we are celebrating our moms, and we're starting that today. I want to personally recognize my mom. May she rest in peace, her name, Jessie L. Demps. She would have been 99 this year. Had she stuck around for a few more years. Want to recognize her and thank all of the moms out there, those who are moms by birth or adoption, but all of those, too, who may just be a mom of the community, a mom of the world, you know, because someone is looking to you for support and guidance and depending on you. And so we want to pray for all of the moms out there. And we are blessed to have today one of several moms that we will have on during the course of May, who is the mom of one of our distinguished guests, civil rights attorney Kevin Anderson, and her name is Reverend Doris Hamilton, and we welcome her to G's Power Hour. Good morning, ma'am. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much, and thank you for gracing us with your presence. So you are the first mom that we are going to talk with this month. No pressure, no pressure, but you have to have done something right, obviously, because we at least know that Kevin seemed to have turned out okay, and we've always enjoyed having him on the show. So tell us a little bit about your journey as a mother.
Well, my journey as a mother has been an uphill battle. Some mothers, you know, have it easy right from the beginning until the child leaves the nest. But I was divorced early on, so I had to struggle with two boys. Kevin is my youngest child, and Gerald is my oldest child. And so just motherhood as a single mother is kind of difficult at times. It's kind of rough. That's the best way. That's the clearest thing that I can say. And I believe strongly in prayer, and so I kept my children in church as well as me, and that's how we manage. I kept them close to me. I let them know that I love them. You know, through the good times and the bad times, we were together. It was the three of us, and we needed each other. I needed them, and they needed me. Now, you spoke of Kevin, however, he was a rambunctious soul, and so he kept me. I had to keep my knee pads out for him, my prayer knee pads. But I was determined that they were going to live the kind of life that they could be proud of as young adults. And so I stayed constantly with them to keep them from going astray. That doesn't necessarily mean that every mother who does that does not have a child to go astray. But I was fortunate enough to keep them, that didn't happen to me. Being a single mother is not easy.
Mm-hmm. At least Kevin seemed to have channeled his rambunctiousness in the right direction, because I don't think it all went away. I think it just got channeled into a positive direction, and I think that's important. So tell me now, in this day and age, still, unfortunately, it seems that, you know, everybody thinks you got to watch out for the girls. You got to watch out for the girls. In our community, the African American community, the boys need just about as much protection, because they seem to have a target on their back. So I'm sure that you were dealing with a lot of stress and just, like you said, just trying to make sure that they stayed on the right path, right?
Yes. It's not easy, you know, especially where he was concerned, because he really wanted to get out and explore things. He wanted to be here, be there. You know, he would tell me he was going someplace and then go someplace else, but he always went where he told me, and then he went on to what he wanted to do, that kind of child. I recognized early on that he had leadership ability, and I did not want to squelch it, but I had to keep my foot on his neck, so to speak, to keep him channeled in the right direction. At one point, I thought that I would be visiting him in prison, but I thank God that that didn't happen. But, you know, I had to stay with him. And some children are like that. All children aren't docile. All children aren't just obedient and do everything that you say do. And he was one of those that did the opposite, but it turned out well in the end. And as it turned out, he experienced many things that prepared him for the field that he's in today, criminal defense attorney and civil rights attorney. So he had experienced some things. He didn't have any brushes with the law, thank God, but he saw things happen in the community. And I think that helped to turn him around. And then his faith in God turned him around as well. So that's how we managed with him.
So now you were talking about having children early. Do you think, I mean, we think we frown upon it, but we kind of, you know, kind of second guess having children early. But we have to remember the mother of our Lord was a young mother as well. Do you think that having children early is a good thing, or do you think that mothers should wait a little further? What would you have considered an ideal age if you had had a choice in terms of having a child? What age?
Well, for me, I think it would have been better had I been maybe about 28 or 29, closer to 30, but I happened to have been 21 when I had my first child and 24 when I had the second. It might be more difficult. You know, I was married, and so I had an income, but there are many mothers who are unmarried and have young children, and I think you can do it, but it's not going to be easy. On the one hand, sometimes it's better to have them young and you all grow together. And then on the other hand, sometimes it's better if you're seasoned, because you're able to see more, you're able to understand more. You know what motivates you, at what your needs are, and what the needs of the children are. So it's difficult to say. And like you said, Mary did have Jesus at a very young age, and that was channeled, that worked out well for all of us, for all of mankind. But I just, you know, it's just difficult to say. You can't, I don't think you can pinpoint it. If you keep yourself channeled in the right direction, if you are determined that you are going to make something of your life, whether you have children or not, it may be easy, it may be a hard struggle, but you will make it. If you don't have those values instilled within you, then, of course, you will go in the opposite direction, and it will become difficult for you, and you might not make it. So it's hard to say. I wouldn't say that having them young or having them old is bad or good. It depends on where your mind is, what your life's focus is, determination is, what you are determined mm-hmm. to do in life.
Okay. So now, what were your initial plans for your life? Where did you see it going, and did having children modify those plans for you?
Well, I just thought about this the other day. I was a child of adoption, and so I think what I really wanted was just to I read a lot, you know, and I fantasized a lot. And I think what I really wanted was to be married, have this little cottage on the corner lot with the swings in the back, and we just lived happy. My knight in shining armor had come to get me, and we would ride off into the sunset. But when I became 40, I realized this ain't happening. You know, this is not happening. You are, this is not going to be the case. So I had to refocus. That's what I wanted. But it did not happen. I was divorced early on after about 7 years of marriage. And I had to begin to look into the arena of a career and make as much money as I could to raise the kids the best way that I could. And I was satisfied with that along the way. And then I received a call on my life to go into ministry, which I did not want to do. I really did not want to do it. That was the last thing in this world that I wanted to do. But however, you know, I accepted that call, and now my focus mainly is to do whatever it is that God has for me to do. And I mainly minister to women, and I like to be in the arena, not high up, but down low, to talk to that woman that's struggling, that woman that's really trying, that woman that thinks that she is nothing and she cannot make it. I like to let her know that, yes, you are something. You can make it, and I will help you the best way that I can. That's where my focus is today. And I had a crazy focus when I was younger, and I was forced to, you know, it was interrupted. I was forced to raise kids. I was forced to find a job. I was forced to work. But now, that's where my focus is.
I was thinking about what you were saying in terms of your focus and, you know, in what your calling is, and that you didn't really want to do it. Because I think a lot of times we think that whether it's being called to motherhood or whether it's being called to a full-time career, part-time career, or whatever, that's not where we're supposed to be, you know.
Yes,
sometimes we have to realize that we're being called for a particular reason. Now, we do have to kind of do some discerning to make sure that, you know, that it's God that's calling us to these particular situations and not something else that, you know, that's leading us in that direction. So, you know, but it seems like whatever it is that you were called to, it's worked out. It's strengthened you in terms of character, and it made it, you know, it tested you and put you in a position to rear, you know, some outstanding young men, you know. So, you know, good for you in terms of, you know, how you answered the call. We're going to take a quick break. We are honoring mothers here on G's Power Hour. We're in the mom that we're honoring today. We're honoring all of them, but today we're featuring Reverend Doris Hamilton. She is the mother of civil rights attorney Kevin Anderson, whom we've had on the show. If you have questions, the number is 516-387-1944. That is 516-387-1944. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Does it appear the long arm of the law is working against you instead of for you? Whom do you call when the boys in blue are pursuing you? When the wrong person behind bars may end up being you? With over 40 years combined legal expertise, Anderson & Welch bring to bear a smart, sound, sensible defense of those caught in what may be the unrelenting grip of the legal system. Turn to Anderson & Welch first to get ahead of trouble, not fall into it, by calling 561-832-3386. That's 561-832-3386. That's Anderson & Welch Law Firm online at andersonandwelch.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to G's Power Hour. I never had it so good entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. If you have questions or you have a comment, the number is 516-387-1944. We are honoring mothers, and today we feature Reverend Doris Hamilton. She is the mother of civil rights attorney Kevin Anderson of Anderson & Welch, and we are pleased and blessed to have her on the show. I wanted to ask you a little bit about your journey into theology, into becoming a woman of the Word. How did that happen?
Well, that's difficult to explain. I began to get these little inklings that that was what I was supposed to do, but I didn't want to do it. And so I literally ran for about 5 years. And finally, I just gave in and said, yes, Lord, I will do this, because I could find no peace. And once I did that, I belong to Gethsemane Baptist Church here in Newport News, and I sit under the Honorable Bishop Dwight Reddick, who is an amazing preacher, and I began to get a great foundation and began to learn a lot from him about theology. And then one day I got the feeling that I just had this inner feeling that I was supposed to go to seminary, and I didn't want to do that because I was a middle-aged mother by this time. I was in my 50s, late 50s, and so I didn't want to go back to school, but I ended up going to seminary with my girlfriend one day, and while she was trying to get her bill straightened out, I just looked down and I saw wherein I could go under a special permissions program, and I knew that was for me. And I said, well, I can't go. I have a raggedy car. I have to drive an hour and a half, and I just can't make it with this. So God blessed me with the car. So finally, I had no excuses, and I just said, all right, I'll go. And I went and graduated 3 years later with an Master's in Divinity. And it was a great experience. It's one, I don't know what other people say, but I always say it's one that I wouldn't give $1 million for what I learned, and I wouldn't give $1 million to go back through it, because it was very intense. But it helped define me as a person. It helped me know who I am, and it's like God introduced me to me so that I could get a better understanding of what I am about and what he expects of me. And that way I found out that I'm just a plain person. I'm not only I'm not uppity. I'm just plain me. I just do me. And so I look for opportunities to help other people be themselves and come into their own and know who they mm-hmm. are, that it's not about trying to impress somebody, but it is about trying to be the best that God, with the tools and the resources that God has given you, and that he's given you far more than you see. But if you just stop and listen and focus, he will bring you into your own self, into your road, into the destiny that he wants you to follow. And so that was my experience. That was my theological, and still is. I don't prefer fancy stuff. I can do fancy, but I prefer just down home folk. I just like folk that are real. I try to mm-hmm. be real. I don't like phoniness of any kind. And that's been my experience. You know, I can be in the, I was in the grocery line the other day, and the lady said that her son was bothering her so bad, she just, I just give up, I just give up. And I didn't know the lady, but I turned around and told her, don't give up. I began to just talk to her and said, don't give up. I don't care how bad you think he is, just dose the situation with love, because love covers a multitude of sins.
For sure. So I want to go back to, you said you ended up, I guess, about a decade or so after you got married, you ended up divorced. So you were raising sons as a single mom, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm sure there's a lot of women out there that are in that situation right now and are exasperated. Talk about your experience being a single mom, raising sons, you know, in our society. And what were, I guess, your biggest fears and your biggest joys?
I had to work. And so I was afraid that they might go astray before I could, you know, I couldn't keep my fingers right on them. I drove about 11 miles a day. I was about 11 miles from work, but it took me sometimes 2 hours. And of course, they were home from school. They were on their own. You know, I laid down rules. One obeyed, the other one didn't. And you can just about guess who I'm talking about.
Okay.
So, you know, I talked to them. I always told them that I loved them. I wanted to keep us in prayer, because I'm telling you, you can't raise kids today without God. You've got to have somebody to help you do things, to somebody to look to, somebody to give you relief, and somebody to give you insight. And for me, that person has been God. So I did a lot of praying. I did a lot of talking. You know, I'd run in the house sometimes. We'd have a meeting. And I kick my shoes off and go in the kitchen and start dinner, tell one, here, you finished up, I've got to run, because I'd taken on a part-time job, and I would come back. And then one night I came back, and my windows were broken out, and this mother, irate mother, was there standing having a fit in front of my door. And so when I went in the house, I just told her, I just called my director and said, I cannot work anymore, I can't do this. I have to save my child, and you know who that was. I cannot do this. I have to stay here. I have to be closer. I have to keep him closer, as close as I can. And so that's what I did. It's if there is no roadmap for raising kids, it's difficult to raise for a woman to raise boys, especially if they you know, rambunctious. It's difficult to keep your hands on them. You can't, but you have to just Stay the course, stay with the course, and prayer. That's the one thing to help me to keep myself together, to keep my sanity, and to keep my hands on him, and to let him know that there were some things I accepted, other things that I did not accept, and then there were things that I was not going to have. But through it all, no matter what I said to him, I would say, but I love you. You know, and I found that enough of, we don't say love enough. We don't put our hands on our boys enough. We need to hug them. We need to love them. You know, and I said, I don't like what you're doing right now. I don't like it, but I love you because you are a part of me. And together we're going to work this thing out, because I'm not going to have thus and such. You know, and so, and that worked out in the end. So when he was about 16, he turned everything around, and I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, I think we, in our efforts to toughen our boys up, to make them, quote, unquote, man up, you know, we kind of withhold some of the touchy-feely stuff, and that's not necessary. You know, I think you give them an idea in terms of what you expect from them, but like you say, you still let them know that you love them, and you don't withhold. If you're an affectionate person, you don't withhold that part of yourself from them, because they need to be equipped to learn how to share that kind of love and affection with whoever their mate ends up being, and their children. So if they don't know how to love, they're not going to be any good to their mate and children. So you have to give them an idea of what you know, all love in all of its forms is about, you know, whether it's tough love or whether it's compassion or affection, you know, you have to, I think you did a great job and great example in saying, you know, yeah, you know, this needs to happen, but I love you. Now, I need to ask you, though, do you think your son's rambunctiousness was a call for attention in some way?
Yes, it was. I realized early on that that my son was angry with his father because his father was not there, and when he wrote to him, he did not pay any attention to him. He didn't come. He told him things that he was going to do, and then he didn't do them, and so he was frustrated, and he couldn't take out his frustration on him because he wasn't there. So the mm-hmm. child tends to take out frustration on the one that is there. And mm-hmm. I recognized that he was taking out his frustration, you know, on me. But at the same time, even though I understood, I also knew he couldn't run the house. You know, mm-hmm. there was only one ruler in the house, and there were house rules, and mm-hmm. they had to be met. But despite all of that, and we worked our way through that, I still loved him, and I let him know that. And I let them know that they could come talk to me about anything. If I didn't know the answer, I would try to find the answer. And I even sought out guys in the church to come and spend some time with them, to take them places. I tried the Big Brothers program, and by the time they called me to tell me that they had a big brother, my kids were graduated from high school. But
gosh.
But that, you know, is kind of rough for a woman, because when a boy gets to be a certain age, he thinks that he can kind of muscle you and tell you what to do, when he's not going to take this or take that. And that's when you have to toe the line, and you have to let them know, you know, who's in charge and who is going to stay in charge. But we're going mm-hmm. to lovingly do this.
So even though you apparently were a very successful mom, you still think that there really is a need for a male figure to be prominent in a young boy's life through the course of their growing up. Is that right?
That's right, because there are some things that the mother just cannot do. She can try, and she can do the best that she knows to do, but there are some things that she cannot do. There are some questions that boys have that she cannot answer. There are some things that they want to do that she cannot do for them. And they do need a male influence, but they need the right one. They don't need to see someone coming. They don't need to see if you're dating. They don't need to see somebody coming through every time they look around, someone new is coming. They need to have a steady influence. They need to have a solid influence. And they need to do, you can do that all by yourself, is what I always say. Mm-hmm. So you just do the best that you can, you know, to raise your children, to stay in that, within that certain parameter of hope, and just pray that they, you know, and when they're out in the street, you're worried, because that's not a good thing, especially today.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, you can't write a book about it. It's really
right.
Tough. You have to see. You know, you can't write a book about it. No two cases are the same, but you have to go by instinct, and above all, you have to continue to love them regardless.
So let me just kind of get a little bit more clarity and insight. So there were, like, no uncles around, or cousins, or pastors, or coaches, or any of those type of people?
I didn't have any brothers around. I didn't have any uncles or cousins. It was me. And when they stayed with my mom for a little while, and of course then they had my father. So my father would do all kinds of things with them when they were in the growing years, the growth years, you know, play basketball, take them this place and take them that place. But they lived in Virginia. And when they returned to live with me, I didn't have anybody. It was just me. And I cried out to the church, my pastor. He did what he could with the boys. And there was a coworker, her husband, he did what he could with them. But it is difficult for that mother with young sons to bring them up by herself. Now, she can try now. You know, some people say, I talked to a girlfriend last night, and she said she never had any trouble with her son, da, 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 da. But, see, her son has a mild personality. Everybody doesn't have that. You know, some personalities are fiery. Some personalities are radical. Some personalities are nice and kind, such as my youngest son. I never had a moment's trouble with him because he was the kind-hearted person. He was the benevolent person. But Kevin was not. So you have to deal with what you have. You know, it's just like a game of cards. You got to play the cards that you have.
That's right.
And play them to the best of your ability. And my viewpoint, it takes lots of love and lots of prayer.
We are celebrating moms this month, not just for Mother's Day, but the whole month of May. Off and on, we're going to have different moms. Today, we're celebrating with Reverend Doris Hamilton. She is the mother of civil rights attorney Kevin Anderson. We are going to take a quick break. If you have questions or comments, the number is 516-387-1944. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. It's a National Day of Prayer, so keep all of those that are suffering in prayer, whether it's war, mental illness, or just trying to get through the day, whatever challenges that people may be facing. If you know of someone in particular, you know, please just, you know, take a moment to take that time out. Or even if it doesn't have to be, you know, a prayer asking for something from the Lord, just, you know, saying thank you for those blessings, great and small, as I usually say. You know, just let the Lord know that you appreciate him for what he's done. So this is a good time to do that. We are talking with moms this month throughout the course of the month, in addition to some of our regular stuff that we're doing. Today we're talking to Reverend Doris Hamilton, who is the mother of civil rights attorney Kevin Anderson. If you have questions or comments, the number is 516-387-1944. And so I wanted to ask you, in the course of your rearing these two young men, were there, let's say, words of wisdom that you remembered that you passed forward from your mom?
One of the things my mom told me was that no matter how meager your circumstances, always make your house a home. Do not let it be just a house. If whether you had little or whether you had much. And that resonated with me, and so I tried to create a home for them because we didn't have much, especially when they were teenagers. We didn't have much. When I got a rug to put on the living room floor from Woolworth, that was a great thing for me. But I had to make it a home. You know, I took curtains and plain sheet curtains and dyed them and bedspreads and dyed them to make it look comfortable for them and to make it as cheerful for them as I could, because I could not afford to go out to the department stores and get all these things that I would like for them to have had. So I tried to do that. I tried to invite their friends were welcome to come in. I tried to cook good meals for them, and we tried to spend time together. I just wanted it to be a home. That's what resonated with me, that no matter where you are, no matter what you have, or no matter what you do not have, thank God for what it is that you do have. Make the most out of it and try to create a home instead of a house. Because a house can be well decorated, but if there's no love in that house, that's all it is. It's just a house.
Right. I'm thinking about what you're saying about that. Yeah, it's you know, builders make a house, people make a home, you know.
That's right.
And the other ingredients such as love and fellowship. Because I think about that way with church, too. People think church is, you know, a building, you know. Church is mainly about the people, you know, where two or more are gathered. So that's your church. So you can have it in a building, you can have it outside, but if you don't have the people, then you can't really have church. So were you able to keep your sons in church?
Yes, I was.
Good.
That was
I see a lot of
raised up from, but they were raised up from the beginning.
Uh huh.
But a lot of mothers have difficulty doing that.
Right, I have a problem with people that say, and I know they're trying to, you know, do the right thing and let their children have a little bit more say and autonomy and stuff like that. But they're children, and I hear a lot of people say, I'm not going to force my child to go to church. But the thing is, you are responsible for forming that child. So
that's right.
You have the final say in what that child does. I remember there was something that my mom and I had a discussion about, you know, when I was an adult. But she told me when we were having this discussion, it was like, no, you were going to church. Now, when you turned 18, you made your own, you're an adult, you make your own decisions and everything. But as long as you were a minor under my care, you were going to church. You know, there was nothing else to be said about it. You know, so.
That's right. That's the way I saw it.
Mm-hmm. Do you think our moms are, you know, I know a lot of our society has changed, but still I think there should be some basics. Do you think our moms are too lenient or giving? Or I think also, too, there's a little fear involved with some of our moms now, whether it's fear of backlash from a system that has kind of gotten a little lax and doesn't really have an understanding of discipline, or even fear of the child in some cases. What are your thoughts?
I think we watch different cultures raise their kids in ways in which the kids seem to run the house. And so we try to emulate the same thing. I don't think that's a good thing. I think that if our children were in a position to do everything for themselves, then there would be no need to have the parents, that we are the parents and that we have to have rules and guidelines to go by and that these must be adhered to. I think that discipline is needed. You know, they talk against spanking, but many of us were spanked and we're all right with it. We came out fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not advocating spanking, but I'm just saying that sometimes we have to have some form of discipline in the home. We have to have some form of adherence to the rules. And that has to be done regardless, you know, because they are children and because we are assigned the responsibility of rearing them and guiding them into adulthood to be solid citizens. And we cannot do this if we let them run us instead of us telling them what to do, but we don't have to do it harshly. We don't have to do it filled with malice. We can do it. I come back to that same word. We can lovingly do it. But this is what you must do. And then we have to be careful. If we want our children to respect us, we have to be careful how we live our lives in front of our kids. You can't live a loose life and expect that child to obey every word that you say. You have got to consider what you're doing in front of your child. You know, because your child is in a learning process, whether they admit it or whether they know it, they're in a learning process from day one until they leave the house. They see what you do and they see what you don't do, and they're putting all the process and all of this stuff in their heads. If you live a loose life in front of them and then you try to tell them you can't do this, they don't want to hear it. So you've got to be careful about how you live in front of your children, how you carry yourself, how you treat yourself and your friends, and how you treat them. All of that locks in together.
Gretchen, your guess is on.
So I think we have someone that has a question or a comment. Go ahead, please. Hello, welcome to the Power Hour.
Hello. Hey, I'm dropping in. Hey, Mom, how are you?
Oh, good.
you never expected to hear anything, I'm sure. You're doing well. Happy Mother's Day. That's coming up. I'll do that for you, you know, on the air here. But I'm just listening to your responses and some of the things you're saying to G. Thank you for the kind words. I appreciate that, and I appreciate you.
Kevin, talk about your mom. Talk about growing up with your mother and what she was like, and what worked, and what did you have, like, maybe some resistance to or questions about when you were growing up, Mr. Rambunctious?
I was a hellion, you know. The kind person that she's talking about, you know, was my oldest brother. I'm the youngest. I think she kind of mixed that up a little bit. My oldest brother, Gerald. Was, you know, quiet, you know, rule-abiding, quiet young man at the time. You know, he's 3 years older than me, though. And so I was the one that was out there. My mom instilled a couple of things that, you know, stuck with me to this day. And that would be faith, her strong commitment to faith. Education was definitely a big deal in our household, and a purposeful existence, I'll say. You know, we were made to go to church. It didn't matter what you wanted to do. You were going to church, okay? So she put us in a position where we were able to observe other people who were going to dress the right way. They were going to be relatively respectful in the church environment, and also we were going to get the word of God. And that made a significant difference in terms of some of the things that today that I embrace when I make decisions in my life. In addition, it made a big difference in terms of my election to accept Jesus as my Savior. The education aspect of my world was one thing that, you know, I was able to kind of see, because she led by example there. You know, my mom, you know, she at one point, you know, had been in a college that I think she had been to Norfolk University for a while, and I knew that, but there were some circumstances that called for her to leave, but she still emphasized the importance of an education, and she went back. Eventually, she went back. Eventually, she told you to get a master's in divinity. But between that time, I knew the importance of education because she worked at Howard University. So as a young man, I you know, would frequent the university with her, and I was able to see other people who were striving to educate themselves. And I saw the culmination of that education oftentimes from the graduates of the university, and a purposeful existence was that, you know, she was real clear, like, you're going to abide by these rules here. You know, you might not like it, but if you're going to live here, this is how it goes, young man. And so I think, you know, I just kind of, you know, I embraced those things. And you know, to this day, I think that is the reason, you know, why I began to change, because, you know, those things seem to yield a good way of life, you know, for me. So, you know, I can definitely say that. Now, I'll tell you this, in terms of men in her life, after, you know, my mom and my dad divorced, I never saw one man, not one man. I thought she was a nun or something. not one man coming to her, our world, you know, period. You know, she was home every night. There was no running in and out. In fact, man, I never even heard my mother cuss, you know. So, you know, I thought, all right, you know, well, it seems that, you know, we've got someone that, you know, I can admire, someone, you know, who isn't a man, but certainly is doing a really good job, you know, raising a boy who's going to become a man.
We are here with Reverend Doris Hamilton, who is the mother of Kevin Anderson, who is a civil rights attorney with Anderson and Welch. Both of them are on. If you have questions or comments, the number is 516-387-1944. When we get back, we're going to take a quick break. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we'll be right back.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Hi, I'm Tim Garris, and I think I found a way to help you understand what is Chill Out Jazz.
Some of y'all may be confused because of the style we choose. We make jazz and R&B. We don't categorize. We just make what sound good, baby.
Is it jazz?
It is what it is.
Is it R&B?
Tune in every Wednesday night at 10 on KHAM Radio.
Are you sure?
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Take some time out to pray today. This is the National Day of Prayer. Also, take some time to honor a teacher. And also, take some time out to get ready for mom. Tomorrow, by the way, we are going to have Chef Nelson to give us some tips on making that Mother's Day meal, especially if you are a novice and haven't done it but want to try it and want to make sure it comes out right. We'll have him on tomorrow. And then Monday, our Hair Care Hotline extraordinaire stylist Candace Thomas is going to be on. She is a mother-to-be for the second time, and so she's going to talk about her experience in, you know, she's saying that there are some differences between carrying her son and carrying a daughter that she's expecting. So we're going to talk with her a little bit about what her experience is. So in the meantime, we are back with Reverend Doris Hamilton, who is the mother to civil rights attorney Kevin Anderson of Anderson and Welch. And if you have questions in the last few minutes that we're on, the number is 516-387-1944. Reverend Hamilton, I want to ask you a question about keeping the little naughty girls away from your boys. Did you have to deal with a lot of that?
Well, yes, to a certain extent. I had a house rule that no one was to come into my home when I wasn't there. And that was not adhered to. So I had to step to it and had to say a few things to the mothers. And then to my surprise, one mother, she didn't see anything wrong with her daughter visiting my son after school when I wasn't in the house. And I had to make that clear that that wasn't going to work. But then I thought, I can't control the girls. I can't control the mothers. But I can talk to my son, and I can let him know that he has to accept a certain amount of responsibility for his behavior with a young lady. And that if sex was to come up, and he was going to be quick to indulge in it, that he had to realize that a child could develop from that, and that he could not take the girl's say-so for it, that he had to be prepared himself, and that if any child came about, he would have to take care of it, but to always realize that whoever you lie with, you don't mind that person being the mother of your child. If you've got a problem with that, then you have a problem with the girl. I just was straight out with them. and told them that, you know, I'm not having it. I'm not having girls over here when I'm not here. And you ought to be respectful. You ought to respect them. You respect me. Respect them. Treat them like young ladies, not as some object of satisfaction for you. Felt pretty good, thank goodness.
Yeah, thank goodness. I can imagine just the constant stress of trying to of worrying about that, because I remember my mom telling me too. It's like, you know, if you end up whoever you decide, if you end up lying with them, you make sure that it's a person that you want to be dealing with the rest of your life, because you might end up getting pregnant, and that means that
That's
you
right.
are connected to that person for the rest of your life. So. So it's. I don't think that we stress enough, right, you know, in these days, in terms of the necessity of, and it's not being snobbish, it's just knowing yourself and knowing what you're going to be willing to deal with for the rest of your life. And even though you're young, you still do have some sense of, you know, who it is that you want to be stuck with. You know, and the circumstances you want to deal with, you know, from here to eternity, more or less. So, so what if you saw one thing today that you would like to see? Because I know you say you deal with a lot of young women right now. If you saw one thing that you would like to see change, that would benefit young women right now in terms of the choices that they're making, especially when it comes to motherhood, what would it be?
Well, I would just like to tell mothers today that whether they're in the church or out the church, to carry yourself in such a way that your children look up to you and your children want to do some of the things that you have done. Keep the bar raised for your children, and they will keep looking up. They will keep striving to do, because you are the one person that is in constant contact with them. I would also tell them that love your child. Let your child know that you love them, especially if it's a boy. Let him know it's all right to cry sometimes. You know, the tears are okay. And let him know that he needs a hug just like the daughter does. Set your rules and stick to them. Carry yourself in front of them in a certain way. That I can't express that enough. And just be there for them. Have the kind of relationship where they feel comfortable coming to you, talking to you about anything that troubles them, anything, and you will get much further down the road with them. The two of you can then set out with a plan to solve whatever it is that's bothering that child or whatever it is that you can do for that child. Keep that closeness intact, and it will pay off in great dividends once they become adults.
And, you know, and it's not just the girls. It's everybody. I think everybody has to kind of mind their manner, so to speak, to mind how they conduct themselves, because, you know, your child is watching you, but your child is also watching other people. And you know, sometimes they have questions. Sometimes they'll ask you. Sometimes they don't. But they're also observing behaviors of other people, and may pick up things that you don't want them to pick up. And then at the same time, too, they may pick up some positive behavior as well. So I think it's because I remember having a young cousin that we got into a discussion in later years when she became an adult, and she would tell people, I brought her over to my dorm for a weekend when I was in college, and she talked about how I let her come into the dorm and what we did and this, that, and the other. And I did not realize the impact of what that visit was going to have on her, you know. So that I was kind of on my best behavior. But, you know, I mean, it could have been very different, you know. And it could have been also a very bad experience for her, but it was a very positive experience for her. And I think we all have to mind our behavior, whether or not, you know, we're directly involved in a young person's life or indirectly involved, you know, or just passing. So, Kevin, you have anything else to say about your mom?
my mom is definitely a leader by example. And, you know, one thing she instilled is to take little and to use that to build on. Start where you are, not where you want to be, but to look down the road and to just keep your head down and keep working. Never give up. That work ethic, you know, and I appreciate that in my mom. And, you know, but for that, I don't know where I'd be today. So, and I'll say that that's one thing that I definitely want to acknowledge here today about her.
That's an important lesson, because I think we kind of get lost in where we want to be and not necessarily paying attention to the journey of how to get there. We're looking for that immediate gratification and not being focused on we can get there, but it's going to require X, Y, and Z and pulling the components together to get where we want to be. So and having patience and discipline. I think patience and discipline are sorely lacking right now with some of not just our younger people. We have people now, the whole thing with COVID right now, I think, is a matter of having patience and discipline, you know, because you have to work toward the ultimate outcome, you know, rather than worrying about, you know, being inconvenienced right now. So, Reverend Hamilton, so you are a grandmother. So,
yes.
Do you find that you have a difficult time trying not to step in?
I don't really have that problem because I don't live near them. So there are lots of times if I see things that I want to address, I might let it slide because I'm not with them a lot. But if I see something that really bothers me now, I will talk to the parents. So if I am a grandmother, I'm a great-grandmother. So when I see things in my great-grandchildren that I think need addressing, I will pick my time and speak to the granddaughter. And likewise, if I see something in the granddaughter, I will speak to my son because I'm not around them as much. If we were around each other all the time, I would probably speak my mind. And so I've had to take that road because I don't want to. I want them to know over and above everything else that I love those guys, and they know it. They know that I love them to pieces, and I want them to know that, and I want them always to feel free to come to me with whatever it is that they want to talk about. And I have to say that my granddaughters, they do that. If they're troubled, they'll wake me up 1, 2 o'clock in the morning to talk, Grandma, I need to talk, and they know it's okay because I'm always there for them. So that's what I've had to do because there's so many miles between us. Might be slightly different if there were just a few blocks away.
Kevin Anderson, thank you for connecting us with your mom. We really appreciate it. And Reverend Doris Hamilton, thank you for being a blessing and happy Mother's Day. And, you know, you're welcome back to the show anytime. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It's been an experience. Thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you all for listening. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. Remember, tomorrow we have Shelf Nelson. Be well, be safe, be blessed, and please remember, all real power comes from God. You all take care.
He'll make it all right.
God is able.
God is able.
Whatever you need.
Whatever you need.
He'll supply.